Bagel Tech back, slick as ever, with a lovely creaking door smack in the middle of the titles.
I wonder what that was.
I thought the whole orchestra fell down the pit or something.
Crash.
Who was that? Go on. Name.
Who was it? Who else was it?
Okay.
Andy, you send me those earphones. I'm going to send you a tin of oil. Bit of WD-40 will solve all our problems.
Oh, dear. My wife obviously took the 5 seconds that you were running the intro music to open the door.
Welcome to Bagel Tech, Matt, the weekly show from the Bagel Tech Network, discussing all things Apple, iDevice, and anything else that happens to come up that we're not really sure we're going to talk about at the start, but there we go, eh? I'm joined by a fantastic crew again this week. We've got Mr. Don McAllister, returned from his travels, passport stamped from California and WWDC. How are you feeling, mate? You got in the sleep routine yet?
You know what? I got home on Sunday and I've been fine up until last night. And then it sort of hit me last night. I couldn't get to sleep last night. It was a bit weird. But no, I'm all right. I'm fine. You know, I'll persevere. Don't worry about me. I'll be fine.
Good, mate. Did you have a good week there? Was it worth the trip?
It was brilliant. Yeah, yeah. I mean, so much to take in. That was one of the issues. There was so much being announced at the keynote. Lots of very interesting sessions. I mean, I'm not a developer, so I really go over there just to get some ideas, see which direction things are going in. And it always sort of gives me a couple of ideas on the direction I want to take screencasts online as well. So that's always good.
Good. Excellent. Mm-hmm. Sarah, who is now Andy Anatko.
So
according,
I say, yes.
According to the title. How are you doing, Mrs.? You've come off the subs bench here because, unfortunately, Mr. Anatko has had to bail on us. He's had something come up, so he sent me an email. Apologetic, but not able to join in. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm very well, thank you. All fit for, well, this is sort of somewhat unexpected, so...
Have you been keeping abreast of the Mac news?
doing it right now.
It's going to be fresh at least. Standing in for Andy Anatko in the visual sense below her, we've got Andrew Stevens and Dr. Happy Mac. How's the fedora dude?
Yes, excellent. Today, you and I have both mostly been being Andy Anatko without insightful comment and in-depth knowledge.
And the mutton chops have gone down quite significantly.
Yes.
But getting there. Good week.
Yeah, not too bad. Busy things picking up. Definitely been a busy couple of weeks.
Pushed any stuff onto Princess Anne this week or not?
No, you know, she doesn't use a Mac.
She doesn't?
No, of course no.
I thought all the royals use Macs.
Do they? I don't think they do.
Are the royals Windows?
They look Windows to me. Don't they look Windows
I've
to you?
Never heard a better argument for the deposition of the Queen then. There we go.
She looks a bit Windows.
Well, we used to have a Windows tax. How about having a Mac tax?
A Windows tax. Very good.
I said you didn't know that I had part of my experience this week involved going to someone's house and they had an HP PC with a touchscreen on it. Running Windows 7 with a touchscreen.
And? It was horrible.
It was horrible beyond... Horrible doesn't even begin to cover how foul the experience of using a touchscreen on a desktop PC is. I know we were talking about it last week with, should OS X become touchscreen and stuff? And on the basis of this, I mean, I know it was Windows, so it was not really out of the starting gate with a fair advantage, but just the act of using this big screen and it was all smeary and horrible. No, I'm convinced that it's not a good way to go.
I mean, that is the kind of thing with the touchscreen element, isn't it? I mean, after a couple of swipes, really, your device starts to look like you've just given birth to it.
Yeah, I really should have put the kebab down before I started.
And the greasy fingers never helps, though.
No, it's got curry sauce all over your screen.
And coming through to us via Wi-Fi connection and iPhone 4, and not badly, it has to be said, Carl Swagger, bottom left. How's it going, mate?
Yeah. I'm chuffed at this, as you would say, in the British side of things. Yeah, I think it's doing real well.
And the audio quality's pretty good as well.
Yeah. I can't hear myself, so I'm glad you're telling me that.
Well, no, of course. But in fact, actually, it might even be better than your standard mic. Wait till you hear it back. Yeah. Just a bit tinnier. Yeah. We'll have a tweak with the settings. Bit of EQ on it, and it'll be fine.
Waste of $500. Okay, good.
bit of EQ and everything will be fine and dandy. The week in Mac is pretty slim, obviously, because we had the keynote last week and WWDC ran on, and WWDC doesn't tend to generate a lot of news outside of where the beer parties are and that kind of stuff. We've got a Facebook application coming for iPad, allegedly extremely soon. Zuckerberg hasn't confirmed it yet, but it will. RIM's really struggling with the tablet side of things, and we had a good chat about tablets last night on the big show, so we'll probably leave that one alone. And also, the sustained growth for the MacBook Air. It seems that the 11-inch MacBook Air is a bit of a hit, and we expected a brand new one this week, potentially. There were sources saying it was definitely coming, and lo and behold, absolutely bugger all happened on Wednesday. And according to a few stories that are kicking around at this moment, there's not going to be anything happen to any Macs until Lion finally hits.
So nah, that's not right. I can't believe that.
So you, is your gut feeling that there is going to be a change to the Air or not? Because, I mean, they're talking about putting Thunderbolt on it, and they're talking about putting the Sandy Bridge processors in.
Yeah, I think it's due for it now.
Is the form factor big enough, though, Don? I mean, you've got one, so...
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely.
There's not going to be heat issues, or...?
No, I wouldn't have thought. Well, no, they'll sort that out, I would think. But no. Oh, there's definitely going to be a version with Thunderbolt out very, very soon, I would think. But I don't agree with this. They're holding back until Lion's out before they'll release something that's ready to ship. I mean, it's just not the way Apple do it. If they can get an extra months of sales of some hardware equipment, they'll just do it and then just upgrade everybody when Lion comes out. So I can't really see them sitting on brand new MacBook Airs before Lion comes out.
The one thing you can never accuse Apple of, really, is bad planning. I mean, bad execution, yeah, that comes and goes with most manufacturers. But in terms of planning, they do seem to think about the timing of outlet of devices and software so that they don't minimize their sales in the period through to them. So, you know, if this is a rumor and not a true story, there's a potential to harm Mac sales there that's really nonsensical.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, there was a rumor out, as you say, that it was coming out this week. So someone had found four part numbers, but I think it transpired that those part numbers that came out on Tuesday or Wednesday were for the unlocked iPhones in the States. So they got them confused with new MacBook Airs. But hopefully, probably next week. You know, I've got a feeling it might be next week or the week after, possibly.
Well, there was a tweet that came out this week, mate, that said that nothing changes in the Mac store until Don McAllister says it can. Yeah. based on your tweet this week and then the fact that bugger all happened, I'm with them so far. So.
Yeah, well, mind you, I'd rather they launched Final Cut, a new version of Final Cut next week, because that is due to come out in June, so we're just waiting on that as well. So,
I mean, what's the... there is no ETA on that, though, is there? They've not really... They said summer, but that's about it.
No, they did say June for Final Cut.
They did, right.
Yeah, I think okay. They specified June, so it should be here any day now.
Excellent.
Mm.
What else happened at WWDC that caught anyone's eye? I mean, or even the keynote, was there anything left over that kind of... I mean, there's a lot more details of iOS 5 have leaked out now and an awful lot more online. I know from my own viewpoint, I've bothered this week to actually watch the whole of the keynote rather than I just followed the Engadget live stream when I was... live blog when I was on the Monday night. And I've only just caught up with the keynote, and Lion looked significantly better in the flesh, if you like, having watched the keynote than it did on the live blog stuff that was coming out. There's a lot of videos kicking around as well now of people using iOS 5 and that kind of stuff. Is there anything that's kind of popped up this week that's been worth chatting about?
Not really.
No. Why am I not surprised that I got bugger all out of that? Thank you.
I take it you covered it well last week anyway, so...
It's pretty much the same as last week. You
know? It's, right.
It's like round two, really. I mean, it really, Don's got all the juicy stuff because he was actually there.
He was in bed at 10 o'clock every night, though.
I know, yeah. Well, not every night. Some nights I did actually go out and socialize, you know, but it's a heavy week. There's a lot going on. I mean, some people were there sort of every night partying. The thing with WWDC is that, you know, if you wanted to, you could actually go to two or three parties a night because there's not only the official sort of dues. There's also sponsored dues by various organizations that throw a party for the developers there. So if you were a real party animal, you know, you could actually be out till 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning every day. And then, you know, the sessions start again 9 o'clock the following morning. So it's quite intensive. So I decided this year not to do the party thing too much, just some select ones, and then sort of keep myself going for the sessions, because the sessions are really interesting, even if you're not a developer. There was lots of comments that lots of the sessions weren't as in-depth as some people would have liked. But to be honest, that was fine for me because I really only wanted overviews. And quite a few of the sessions I went to, I got quite a lot out of. There was only a couple that went completely over my head. But even though you know, they are interesting as well to understand just how what developers have to do to actually generate these applications and these things on the devices. Very, very interesting.
So was it, Dom, what was it like? I mean, when you were there, was there like a real sort of excitement when you were talking to people? Were people really amped for the whole Lion thing? Because I'm feeling when I first heard about Lion, I was a bit sort of but I'm actually beginning to get a bit, you know, thinking, God, I could be doing with having this right now. I think I'm going to enjoy this, particularly Lion Server. Was there a real sort of, were people really pumped up for it?
Yeah, I think, to be honest, people were more pumped up about iOS 5 and iCloud because they were completely new. Lots of the features that shown of Lion we'd seen before. In fact, I think they'd actually been demonstrated on one of the keynotes before. So we'd sort of seen Lion, but the new iOS developments and the new iCloud service really just took everyone by surprise, I think. Just how many new features there were, really. I think I've said this before, but on a normal keynote, you look if you get three or four things that you can sort of go away and discuss and pontificate about. But, you know, there was at least, half a dozen to a dozen different features in each of the three sections. It was quite overwhelming in some respects.
I was going to say, it was a meaty keynote, the first one of any kind of substance they've done for a couple of years, really.
Yeah, well, you can understand why they didn't want to include the iPhone, because, you know, there was just so much stuff in there that it would have been silly to actually have brought extra hardware to introduce that in the keynote as well.
Was the keynote well received by the developers in terms of the fact that they felt there was somewhere more for them to go now rather than fighting around with what they currently got in 4.3, or was it kind of just, okay, hey hum, here's the next thing, let's learn more, let's carry on, let's do, you know, a run of the mill? Was the after keynote conference more charged or equal, do you think, because of the keynote?
No, definitely more charged, I think. I think the developer community sort of realized that they've got an awful lot of work to do in the next couple of months because there are so many changes.
There's a lot of new APIs, isn't there?
Yes, yeah. I mean, they were talking about 1,500 new APIs and stuff. You know, they've got a lot of work to, one, get their apps ready, even the existing apps that they have. Although I have to say, most apps that I've run, I mean, I've got iOS 5 on my phone, and I've not really had any particular problems. So I don't think that applications need to be rewritten to run on iOS 5. They seem to be fairly stable. But what they do need to do, though, is to take advantage of iCloud. And, you know, so that they're going to have to recode to actually do all the file stuff that, you know, sending files into the iCloud and retrieving them, etc. And again, that's a lot. That's what most of the sessions were about, you know, how you code your applications to actually take advantage of all these new features that they've actually got now.
I'm a little surprised to hear what Don actually had to say, to be honest, because, I mean, everything about you speaks party animal. I mean, every time I look at you, it's definitely, you want to rock and roll all night and party every day.
Yeah, well, perhaps in my youth, you know.
Every time he comes on Skype, it's always in the background, he's humming, going, shoop, 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 shoop.
There was a blog post by, what's her name, Violet Blue? Who was slagging off a lot of the parties. I don't know if you saw it. There was a lot of furor on Twitter a couple of days ago that she'd been to a couple of parties and sort of trolled some of the developers there and really sort of was very down on the whole event and very down on what she thought of the developer community. And she unfortunately, I think she was a bit off the mark there, but that was very interesting.
Well, so she'll be found bleeding in an alley next year then.
She'll probably be steered well clear of next year, I would think.
There'll be effigies burnt, flags hanging from a lamppost. Right. The other thing with iOS 5 is the first thing I looked at when I saw all the stuff in the keynote about iOS 5 was, wow, fantastic, brilliant, wonderful, super. What about, like, if you've got the older stuff? What if you've got iPhone 3GS, iPhone 3G, or if you've got iPhone, or if you've got iPad 1, is there any possibility that iOS 5 is going to leave people behind? Because people have had a chance to play with it now, and I've got to say, having stuck it on my iPad 1, there's a lot of glitches in there, particularly things like Game Center. When it wants to come on, it very often causes applications to crash. It's not powerful enough, I don't think.
From what I've seen, I don't think iOS is for the 3G anymore, correct? I mean, they're not going to support that, correct?
Yes, three GS and onwards, I think.
3GS, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and from what I've seen, just on YouTube videos is what I've seen it, and some reviews and stuff that I've looked around it, that 3GS is on the 3GS, it's actually running quite smooth. I think it's more about what features are actually going to, you know, be taken out, shall we say, because that's kind of how it was when iOS 4 came out. Well, you know, 3GS had a little bit, or 3G, should I say, had a bit different features on it. It lacks some things. So I think that's really what we're going to be seeing with the 3GS, what's in and what's out.
Yeah, I think they also concentrate more on the features, but not so much the performance, battery life in these early betas, although I have to say the battery life on the iPhone 4 is fine. But they tend to get the features in, get them working, and then worry about the performance sort of later down the track and optimize it for the older devices. So even if you've seen a few problems now, that might actually rectify themselves by the time the actual release comes out.
Anything else really about the keynote or the WWDC? Because I've got to say, we kind of did it a bit to death last week, and so did the news. So it's there's not a lot to talk about.
I mean, the only thing that I'd say, and I'm not breaking NDA because it's actually something that wasn't really very prevalent within WWDC, and that was how iCloud works with Lion. Because we've still only seen a very limited subset of the iCloud features online. I think the only thing really that we've seen is the photo stream, you know, where you take a picture on an iOS device, it goes up to the cloud, and then it will actually be downloaded to Lion, but there's only a specific build of iPhoto that it will actually go to now. You know, what's going to happen with the applications, you know, you can understand with an iOS application, and what they've done with iOS is to very much sandbox it from the start, and we always thought, what's going on? You know, why is there no file system on the iOS? And that's obviously always been because iCloud has been in the planning stages. So I understand what's going to happen with the data on your iPhone and your iPad and how it sort of transfers to iOS devices, but how's that going to look online? And they still haven't sort of told us that yet, I don't think, and that's going to be very interesting.
I mean, there's an awful lot of iOS and Lion that's fairly hobbled actually as well. I was quite surprised that Wi-Fi sync wasn't enabled on the beta version, so there's no way you can actually try and test iTunes 10.5 with iOS for transfer of data and swapping of files and backing up and that kind of stuff. But the backup to the cloud is working. But you can still do photo between iPhone 4 and iPad. Am I right?
Not tried that. I've done it between iPhone and Lion using the special version of iPhoto that they've put out for developers. That seems to work really nicely.
Right.
But don't forget, it's the first beta. You know, it's not out until the autumn anyway, so they've got still got a lot of things to sort out.
Plenty of glitches to fix.
Mm. Oh, yeah, exactly. Yeah, with Apple, beta actually means beta. Yeah,
yes,
with Google,
true.
It's just common day thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Anything else happened this week in Apple that's worth talking about? Should we just finish the show there then?
well, they're going to cover the Cube up in New York City. I guess they're doing some renovations.
Yeah, $6.5 million to take the Cube down and put it back up, from what I've understood. They're not actually changing any look of it, are they, or something?
Yeah, they're doing all the pavings around the if you've not been to that particular store, it's like a big plaza, and then the Cube sort of is in the middle, and then the actual store itself is underneath. You know, it's actually subterranean. So what they're doing is they're renewing some of the drainage. They're also renewing all the paving flags on the top of that plaza. So they're going to take the Cube down, move it temporarily, revamp everything, and then put it back again. That's going to be a big job for them.
It is. If it wasn't for the fact that there was an Apple store directly underneath those paving slabs, it's the biggest waste of space in New York City that there possibly is. I mean, it's got an ocean of concrete and paving all the way around it. So,
well, they need that for the queues on launch day. You see,
they can zigzag.
Specifically designed for that.
Besides, if you're going to waste space, that's the most beautiful way to do it.
Yeah, with just a single Cube in the center that's illuminated. Right. It's the pretty. You've got to say it's one of the prettiest structures in New York.
It is. And can you see Microsoft doing that with the little Windows emblem there just floating?
No.
It won't work.
Absolutely not.
Well, did you see the Hamburg Apple store with the Windows symbol on it last week?
No, I missed that.
The Hamburg Apple store is due for launch any day, and they've got the black cladding all around the outside, and someone had painted on a very, very well painted on Windows wobbly flag with the four quadrants, and it looked extremely good. But apparently, and quote the story, a workman was out there the following morning painting it black rather swiftly. So there's a surprise.
This is how thin the news is, isn't it?
It is, yeah. The one thing I would say, though, just to finish off the Apple Store point there, if you took the Apple logo down and you put a gallery sign up there, it would be in keeping, wouldn't it? It is that artistic that if it was a gallery entrance, you'd quite possibly believe it.
Probably so.
Right.
What was I going to say? What movie is that? Oh, never mind.
Have we got any cool thingies?
Da Vinci Code.
So there's two bits of that I'd tying in more of the sort of iCloud and things. And one is the thing that the guy that emailed Jobs and said, "Oi, what's happening to iWeb?" And basically got the reply, "Forget it."
Now, so, I mean, that's an interesting point because
anyone that's got anyone that's been using iWeb to create their websites and host them on Apple, all that web hosting's going for sure now.
But iWeb is not going.
No, I don't think iWeb's going anywhere. I mean, you can still use iWeb to output HTML and FTP it up to any space you want. But basically, Jobs' thing was like, you've got to be thinking of moving any domain hosting and web hosting that Apple are providing and moving it away. So that's one bit of cloud that's closing down, I guess.
I kind of wish that iWeb would go away, though, because the code that it creates is the worst I've seen from any kind of web code generator.
Yeah, I think it was quite cool for a while, many years ago, but now with Facebook homepages and, things like Squarespace and all the other stuff, Twitter and things, it's like, why would you want to do a home web page on iWeb? It's just not up to it.
Yeah, I mean, I think the only thing I would say is that in terms of the PowerPoint generation of kind of my age group and just beyond, it's far easier than even something like Squarespace, which isn't hard, admittedly. And if you go beyond that, and if you buy a Mac don't forget that the baby boomer generation is buying an awful lot of Macs at the moment, iWeb is an awful lot more user-friendly, especially if you've bought one-to-ones. It's far easier to get something up in a web space, whereas you can't use a one-to-one to then learn about Rapid Weaver, or you can't use a one-to-one to learn about Squarespace or any of those kind of providers either. So there is a place for it, I think.
I actually have to admit that one of the reasons why I got into a Mac was because of iWeb, because I didn't know code at first. I didn't know anything really about how to build a website. Front page was a freaking nightmare.
That's just as bad.
It's one of those things that, as far as software, it kind of called to me as a new user to want to create websites. In actual fact, when you start kind of digging under iWeb a little bit, you can do some, little things with it. But it was nice to be able to you could have something up and running. And this was long before the days of, where we could install WordPress and all these kind of things, where you could have, something that was already integrated on the server already. I mean, iWeb was really good for when it came out. But it will be nice to have something slightly updated, something new.
You're not going to get, are you actually going to get anything new from Apple, though? Is there going to be an iWeb 2 or an iWeb replacement? Is there a web publishing software going to come out from Apple? Or are they just going to say, look, other people are doing this better than us. It's development time and money that we haven't got. We're going to walk away from it. And everyone that's in the iWeb development team is going to go off to do something else or is going to be sacked.
No, it'll be iWeb 5.
No, I reckon it's just a thing now. iWeb is just it's done.
I think
it's done and dusted.
Yeah, it's just there.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. It would be nice, though, if you could have some way of, to have a better enhanced platform with iWeb that could actually redo it with all the integration now between the iPhone, the iPad, and Lion, to be able to really go in and really, it'd be nice. I wish they would actually put a little bit more into it, because at first the program was pretty cool. I think they just kind of left it, kind of like Mobile.me.
Let's just take the thought process here of what was the driver for iWeb, because .Mac was not the idea for iWeb, because iWeb was around before .Mac.
True.
So Apple wanted to be in the web publishing space with iWeb, and then .Mac came along and they integrated the two. But does Apple really want to walk away from all of these people being able to publish something to the web because someone else is doing it better? Or is there a need for them to keep a presence in the web publishing market in some description, even if it's not iWeb?
Would think so. I mean, Apple's... Go ahead, Don. You would know better.
No, I certainly don't know any better. But no, I would just think it's a bit too early. I still think there's you know, the again, the keynote was so, there's so much stuff packed into the keynote that they couldn't really cover everything. And I think, you know, what's going to happen, we know MobileMe is going away, but they'll need to put in place some sort of migration for people who've got, you know, photo galleries on there, people who've got, you know, iWeb websites and stuff like that. I can't really see them just pulling the plug, because it's, you know, it, and again, you've got to think of where it lives as well. I mean, iWeb lives in iLife, and, you know, iLife is a really great suite of software products, and it's one of the primary drivers that they use to actually get people to buy new Macs, because every new Mac comes with iLife. And, you know, to take that whole piece of functionality away, I just think that's going to be, you know, quite a difficult thing for them to do, and whether or not they'd actually want to do it in the first place, because, you know, it will drive some sales.
There's a couple of points in the chat room here. Getsky's saying, not sure why iCloud can't be a web host to any sort of degree as well. I mean, there's a lot of free web space given out there by Google just for signing up for an email account. Games is saying, Kev's saying the iWeb's now better served by Twitter or Facebook for the people that were using it. In some respects, perhaps I agree with that, but in others, I think no, because I use iWeb because I'm no good at coding, but it's great for updating the rugby website with basic links to and from Flickr and Twitter and Google Mail for the calendar for the fixtures and that kind of stuff. As an integrated ease of use functionality, it's probably, I would say, it might not be as flexible as Rapid Weaver, but it's better than Rapid Weaver in that sense. No, I mean, Don, you're familiar with both and have done screencasts on both.
Yeah, I mean, Rapid Weaver's slightly different in that it's got quite a big third party plugin community that develop lots of extra, you know, themes and plugins for Rapid Weaver, so that's not going to go away. I mean, there's other things as well. There's Corellius, is it Sandvox? They've just recently launched a brand new version of their particular application that creates websites using templates. So there's plenty of competition in the marketplace, but you know, iWeb is just a nice, simple, easy thing that most people can just pick up, and you know, it comes free with the Mac. And if you want to create a quick website, if you already had a MobileMe account, you know, it was a no-brainer. Really, it was quite easy to create something and publish it.
I'm kind of just sitting thinking to myself, you know, my mum at 80 years of age could cope with iWeb. There's no way she'd even begin to start with Rapid Weaver. Mm. Andy, what's going on there, mate? Have you got a snorkeler in the room?
Oh, he's Darth Vader.
It's that bloody wife of yours. You want to let her down, mate? He's gone quiet now. He's obviously got on mute. Good job you got the earphones on, dude, or I'm a dead.
Yeah, I've just done. There we go. I'll really get my finger on the mute thing. I mean, talk amongst yourselves.
Andy's input into this show is going to be based on the background noise and nothing more.
Right. We've just exchanged glances across the room.
You're in trouble.
I am in trouble.
Oh, dear. God, you were about to say, mate.
That Rapid Weaver is an HTML editor, isn't it? And iWeb is not. I mean, if you're committed to iWeb and you've got lots of different sites that you've built in iWeb, you know, all you can do is spit them out as really poor HTML and try and move them into another program.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of post-processing stuff that people have developed for iWeb with keywording and with SEO and that kind of stuff to try and help it along. But it is essentially, if you want to create a website that's going to be commercially usable and is searchable on the internet, it's the biggest pile of crap, as I've found, because I had nothing else to do Bagel Tech News with at the start. That was all there was. And Sarah's protestations were perfectly valid, but until she sat and wrote something better for us, there was no choice, you know? Because yeah. Useless.
The main problem I had with it, from a point of view of what it generated, is that in some ways it was good because it meant that you could put absolutely anything anywhere you wanted. But from a stylesheet point of view, it was complete crap. It just put every bit of code in the HTML, and everything was absolutely positioned.
Everyone,
so for every single object on the every single element on the screen was positioned absolute. Which, from a point of view of saying I want to put this here, that there, and so on, so forth, is brilliant. But from point of view of what it's creating and lateral design and expandability and scalability, is absolutely useless.
No one's arguing, apparently, in the chat room. They're all agreeing with Sarah. Street Machine's coming with the final comment on the subject, which is, just because you can doesn't mean you should. Which I think.
But I do see the point about the fact that it I mean, I don't know iLife. I know a bit about iWeb, but I can see that it would actually sell Macs. because it is it's a good hook into for Apple for someone who might be want to put a website together point of view and doesn't care too much about it. So I can see that point, and from that point of view I would say that I would have thought that it would just stay there. I can't see Apple, why would Apple put any effort into developing it more? But it's you know, there's no reason to kill it.
I mean, what they could do is, I mean, it's taken so long for them since they released a version of iWeb. I mean, they might be completely re-engineering it to use HTML5 and all this nice new cool stuff with the proper CSS style sheet and stuff. You never know. It wouldn't surprise me.
But would they then get rid of the god-awful file tree that goes along with it, where you have to echo the site through a second subdomain or something that's run off it? You know, it's
Nah, the tree will stay. They got to stay green.
More comments in the chat room but the average Mac user doesn't care about what the HTML output is. They just want to produce
exactly
something
why
on
I
the
think
web.
iWeb should just stay there and not be killed.
Mark Shepard saying the code overhead is the price of the convenience in the creation.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
it
that's
just
true.
It just goes with it. Apple does nothing with web objects. There's another one as well. they did do web objects, didn't they, in iWeb? These are the places for code, for objects. Or have I got that wrong?
I think so. There are widgets in there.
There's widgets, that's it. Sorry, widgets. Not web objects, sorry. My mistake.
Widgets. The last bit of news this week is Apple's going to sell an unlocked iPhone 4 in the US.
It's already off, isn't it? It was 2 days ago. Yeah, $469 for an unlocked 16 gig. Now, that is a hell of a price.
I say,
especially for unlocked.
Break what you've currently got and be done with it.
Yeah.
How do we think the airtime providers are going to feel about that?
Well, they're selling it, aren't they? AT&T are the people that are selling it.
Do you not get it through Apple Direct?
I think the one story I saw was talking about AT&T selling the thing in their stores. So whether they've just an option to sell or whatever, but anyway, either way, there's an unlocked iPhone out this week for sure, and it's pricey at $469 for the 16 gig. So you're paying a premium for it. Which the one thing that I'm quite pleased about is here in the UK, putting one over on the US is always a good thing. And we've had an unlocked iPhone now for quite some time, because we've had random operators using it constantly, whereas America's been very, very heavily crunched into the approved suppliers list, isn't it, effectively?
Yeah. One of the things I did read, though, which I thought was very interesting, is that the unlocked iPhone isn't necessarily meant for the American market, you know, the one they're selling in the States. It's actually a way of people to go to the States and actually get unlocked iPhones to, you know, use in other parts of the world. Apparently, that's quite difficult to do in the States, but, you know, here it's fine. But in America, it's very difficult to get iPhones to actually take to other places. So that's one of the reasons why, you know, at this point, they've got another couple of months before the next iPhone comes out. So it's a bit of another sales driver to release the unlocked iPhone. But again, not necessarily for people within America, but for people in America to take them somewhere else, or for people to go to America to pick them up and take them somewhere else.
People like me.
There you go.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Like, live in the Philippines, but I'll go stateside and I'll bring one back and I'll sell it here for twice the price.
Only for a couple of months, though.
Mm. Yeah.
And I see that at the end of the thing that Apple have made sure that they're absolutely spot on and ready for iCloud next month when it comes out.
Because
they've made sure that the error pages are all up and ready to go.
Damn, you're so cynical.
they are. There's a link you can click. You can see them ready. iCloud has failed to load this. I am sorry, there has been an internal error. That's all waiting.
Well, it could also be the lawsuit from iCloud Communications, of course, which has put an injunction, the super injunction on the iCloud web page that's now stopped it from running until they get their...
Did Apple forget to check there was already an iCloud around?
I was going to say, that sounds familiar. Didn't they do that once before? Oh, yes, that was the iPhone, wasn't it?
Yeah, no, yeah. iCloud Communications is a company that does something to do with the web, but nothing similar at all to iCloud's functionality. But they've got the name iCloud registered as a trademark, so Apple are going to have to give them some money for sure.
They've got to do that as well.
This is one of the... I don't want to get onto a thing about Apple because it's a Mac show, but this is one of the things I hate about Apple. They just try to ride roughshod over everybody else.
They have the cash.
Oh, I'm dreading the emails already. Last minute stand in and she comes on and slags Apple off on the Mac show.
It's true, I mean, they're very arrogant in that respect.
I stood in the office here, one of the chaps that I do some work with, and we had a good half an hour rant about, I'm not to bring up bad feeling and past misdemeanors, but we got all hot under the collar and sweaty about the stupid hard drive temperature rubbish that Apple are pulling. And I think it's just that, that Sarah's, in a way, Sarah's right. You know, they'll Apple will look at somebody and say, is this person going to cause us any trouble that we are prepared to even think about? And they look at a small company called iCloud and they go, no, we'll have the name.
Don, you were about to say?
Of our Macs are going to go up.
Don, you were about to say?
Oh, yeah. Well, there's another instance, isn't there? iBooks. There's someone else now who's popped up I think they've actually marketed about 1,000 books under the brand name of iBooks. So they've now gone cap in hand to Apple, say, oi, that's our brand name. Give us some money. And they'll just get paid off. And as long as they get paid off handsomely, I don't suppose they'll be too bothered.
Yeah, it's carpet bagging to a certain degree, isn't it? Rather than reinforcement of your own trademark for the purposes of commercial sales.
There was some other Apple news this week. And that was the retail guy going to JCPenney.
Yes. Is that going to hit the stores much, do we think?
I don't know. I hope not. He was the guy who set them all up originally, wasn't he? He's been in there since the store started. And I would imagine that, he's a clever guy and he probably just wants a greater challenge now. So I think he's putting $50 million of his own money into shares of JCPenney as a sign that he's confident that he can actually turn it around, because I think they're failing a bit at the minute. I think he will have built a team. It's the usual story, it's not just based on individuals. They go in there, they start it off, they build a team around them, and then they get it to a place whereby, they can actually just move away, and it should really, in theory, just carry on without them.
But he'll be working
at Microsoft in 6 months.
Setting up their guru bar. No, I mean, he started the Genius Bar option. That was his big idea, wasn't it, to have this this I'll fix your Mac if you book an appointment thing.
Well, he was also the guy who convinced Steve Jobs to actually build a complete retail store, a mock-up in a warehouse somewhere, and they actually engineered it and actually built a store within a warehouse that they could test things out on and have a look at it. So he was quite instrumental in the whole concept.
Yeah, huge. Well, it'd be nice to see if it's a big loss, but I don't think it will be, like you say, Don. There's enough corporate information there sitting in the background that's going to be able to solve that.
If there's any loss, it's $50 million of his dollars.
It's all right, the cat's just jumped on the mixer and switched everything off. Hello?
Can you still
hear
us?
No, I got you now. It's all right. I've left the door open because everyone's out today. I'm on my own, so I haven't got to worry about keeping the noise out. And the bloody cat's in here, so...
The iCat.
You've lost the main man. Have I gone? Am I the main man? Of course, I'm presuming, but we lost the main. Hey, chat room. Everything's gone. Can you still hear me, everyone?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Yep.
Yeah, we can.
Don't nod your head, Swagger. Say something.
We can only hear Kyle, according to Alex.
Chat room. Well,
can you not hear me, guys?
No, I can't hear Sarah at all.
It's true. Actually, that's exactly...
I can only hear Kyle.
Yeah, and I can only hear myself. Yep. Hello, chat room. We're going to... we have some technical difficulties right now. Apparently, you're the only one that can hear me. I can hear what's going on behind the scenes, and I shall relay it to you
Are we all back now?
I can hear you, Ed.
Can the chat room hear me?
Don is frozen.
Don's just fed up.
Don't worry, we got him on the thaw side.
Don's still there.
The cat had pushed your solo button on the mixer, mate. So, Kyle was solo.
All right.
There we go.
How on earth did the cat get up there?
It's only just behind me.
Yeah, but it's on top of that cabinet, tree, isn't it?
It's just here. Oh, it's a cat woman.
They go
everywhere.
Climb tree, sir.
Yeah, I know, but not in a studio.
No tree in the studio.
It's just all those wires. It's asking for trouble.
Well, I thought we did well there. We spun that out to 40 minutes with absolutely sod all worth talking about.
It was all interesting stuff.
It was. It was very well done. I'm well done, yeah. Keep.
See, we're pros at making stuff up.
There we go. Have we got any cool thingies? Don, have you got anything for us?
I have. I forgot what I was going to say.
That's all right, mate.
Oh, yeah, I remember now. Yeah, it's a great little utility. There's tons of these utilities about that help you resize and move windows. And most of them, you have to remember some weird key combination stuff like that. But there's one called Moom, which is a mixture of Zoom, Move, and Zoom. It's called Moom, M-O-O-M. In the Mac App Store. And what it does is it actually gives you a little control. If you go to the little green Zoom button on any window, you can just click on there and then it will allow you to move that window to sort of, you know, top quarter, bottom quarter, center. You can even move it across to another monitor if you've got multiple monitors on your Mac. You can set it up so that you can have a grid. So you can, again, the nice thing I like about it is that it's all controlled by the green button, which is where you naturally go to move or resize a window anyway.
Yeah.
And you can configure it so that there's a grid. And you can just paint the area of where you want the window to appear, you know, on your screen. And you can also use the keyboard as well. So if you're a keyboard junkie, you can do everything you can do with the mouse with the keyboard. But I just think it's a really neat implementation, the way they've built it into the little green minimize button. Makes it very, very more, rather than just minimizing the window, you can actually control the window completely.
There's another application out there that properly does maximize, doesn't it, as well? Because one of the faults in OS X is the fact that when you hit the green button, it doesn't maximize to the full screen.
Yeah, it's sort of intelligent and people don't like that. It's a lot of people just want it to be full screen, but what it tries to do is resize the window to fit the amount of data that's held within it. So if it's a narrow Safari window, it will just expand to fill the content. It will actually fill full screen and people don't like that. But the Moom mechanism is really nicely implemented and well worth checking out. I think it's about $4.99. It's on the Mac App Store.
Which you've got to say, if it's resizing it to a size that you don't want, how friggin' intelligent can it be?
It's resizing it to a size that you need.
Based on the fact that Sarah's come off the subs bench, we're going to go around in a different order today, just in case she can manage to think of anything. She won't. Kyle, what have you got for us, pal?
My cool thingy is Skype for the iPhone.
It's good.
It is good. I'm surprised, actually. I mean, I could not recommend this thing 2 months ago whenever it came out. It was pretty crap. But they've had a few updates, and it does well. And the only bad thing about it is if you went and spent $500 apparently on a microphone, you got screwed. But other than that, I really like it.
You are going to be very shocked at the audio quality that you have today, mate.
It's almost scary. I think I'll just start doing all the shows like this.
Yeah, why not? And Sarah, I wanted to point out your camera hasn't gone into blurry mode.
Excellent.
Have you done something different, or is it just it's fixed itself?
Ran out of Vaseline.
No, I haven't done anything. Maybe it's the lighting that's doing it. I don't know.
The soft focus mode is not there.
Oh, fantastic.
It's that beautiful red shirt you've got on, Sarah.
It's coral, actually.
Oh, well, whatever.
And last but by no means, Dr. Inatco Mac, before you do your pick, I've got to say, you bastard.
Okay.
You can't respond to that because you've still got your mute on, mate. But absolutely, utterly and totally, you complete and utter bastard for recommending Flick Football last week. I have done sod all else this week except play that frigging game. It is driving me mad.
I know, it's just ridiculous. That sort of, you get to the bit, don't you, where you've got a reasonable high score that, and you can't beat it, you know, every time, and you go, you sort of flick the first thing in the game and it misses, or you don't get the extra point, you go, oh, start again, flick, 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 oh, start again, because you know that you need to build the points up early, so you go, start again, you go, oh, just one more go, flick, 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 start again.
Did I hear there was also Flick Golf as well?
Flick Golf was my recommendation last night on Flick Golf for the iPad. My recommendation last night on the Big Show, and it's wacky beyond belief because you can actually start spinning the ball while it's in mid-flight, and you spin it left, and like normal golf, of course, once the ball starts to hook, that's the end of it. But you can actually make it fade afterwards, and you can get it to do S shapes in the sky, and then spin left, and then spin right when it hits the ground. It's weird, but I found it while I was looking for Flick.
They're local company to me. They're just a few hundred yards down the road. It might be worth seeing whether they might want to come on as a, you know, as a guest one weekend.
Get
to, you know, what they'd be like to, you know, get the story from the, you know, pro developer angle. I mean, they're quite a big company now.
The only thing I would criticise is the fact it doesn't upscale to the iPad very well. It doesn't track your finger at all well on the iPad.
No, the iPad version isn't nearly as good as the iPhone version.
No, iPhone's extremely good. Do you have a cool thingy for us, mate?
I do. It's not quite as addictive as Flick Football, unfortunately, but it's quite cool, I hope. It's called Tinker Tool, and it's for all those people that think that the Finder and the rest of the Mac doesn't work quite the way they'd want it to. And it allows you to basically go in and alter some of the basic settings on your Mac. So you can righteously screw stuff up. It does say that when it, you know, always have faith in an app that when you start it, it comes up, warning, this application may destroy your entire computer. But in reality, it's not that bad. It's I'm just firing it up as we go because I've had it on the thingy there. Tinker Tool. There we go. So you get a whole load of options along the top for Finder, for Dock, for General, Desktop, Applications, Fonts, Login Items. And it just allows you to go in and change, you know, a little bit more than SysPrefs does. So, you might think it's groovy to have the Dock on the bottom or the side and things, but you can switch the transparency on and off. You can switch the animations on and off. You can change all sorts of internal settings to the desktop. You can make invisible folders visible, which is where you can do the damage. It's quite good. Just have it's a good way to have a quick fiddle around and get an idea for, you know, why certain interface elements are locked down the way they are and why things that you think might be a good way thing to do turn out to be not quite so good. And it's free, so you can have a good look. And you can always reset your Mac from it. There's a big button at the end that says reset, which turns everything back to the way that Steve thought it should be.
Excellent. Good job. My pick is a very simple application, Name Mangler. Now, it's only simple, I think, because of the fact that I'm only simple in the way that I use it. But Name Mangler is fantastic for me for doing photos because, obviously, I use a sequential numbering that there is in the camera. But periodically, you can end up going around the clock and coming back again, and you'll end up with a sequential number that's identical. What you can use Name Mangler for is going into the folder that you've got, and you can preface each of the file names with the folder name as well as, and the, pretty much what you can do in terms of renaming all the files that are in it is infinite or endless. But it's a batch new renaming thing. It's pretty expensive at $10, but it's far more elegant than some of the free stuff that you can get like Renamer and that kind of thing. It was well worth the $5.99 I paid for it though. So Name Mangler by Manytrix. It's well worth having. Our last word, of course, goes to our sponsors, UK2.net. They are absolutely fantastic. We hope that we look after them because they certainly look after us. They've added even more nodes on the server to cope with the data load that we pushed out. So then we did 4 terabytes in audio alone last week, last year, month, even.
Last year.
Month. If they disappeared, we would disappear. It'd be that simple. If you like listening to our podcasts, and if you don't, that's fine. Don't click the link. But if you do like listening to the podcast, please, please, please go to bageltechnews.com. And at the bottom of the page, you'll find the link to UK2 and click on it. If you just want to just stop whatever you're doing right this second, type in bageltechnews.com, go to the bottom, click on the link and go to UK2. Just to let them know that you're a listener to the podcast and the fact that we are mentioning them means something to you. If you want to log into your account, instead of going to uk2.net and logging into your account, come to our webpage first. Please use the click through, then log into your account, and they'll know that you're an affiliate with us and that you're proud to be associated between the two of us. And here's the best bit. If you want to buy anything from uk2.net, then use the link on our page. And when you get through to check out, whether you've bought a domain name, any of the e-commerce services, co-location services, VPS servers, anything at all, any price, there's no limit on this. When you get to the coupon code, type in BagelTech, all one word, and you will get 15% off the standard pricing of UK2.net. That's an enormous amount compared to what you normally get, which is usually vastly inflated first, and then they take it off. So UK2.net, use the click through on our page. Please go and support them. Please, when you do it, remember that you're supporting us, and we are absolutely desperate for their support. And if they ever let us go, then we're really, really in trouble. Right next to them as well, you've got Screencasts Online with Don. He's been very kind and given all the Bagel Tech listeners 50% off their first 3 months membership. So you must be getting close to 1,000 screencasts by now, Don, surely.
No, not that many. No, 300.
300 screencasts available.
One a week for the last 6 years, so that's... But this week, if people want to try it out first, they can go to this week's show. It's a free show this week. I'm looking at Writing Kit for the iPad, which is a really neat application that creates markdown text on your iPad. It's brilliant. So you can check out that full show today.
Excellent. There you go. Use that. And if you haven't installed any antivirus, then you've got the Sophos logo there. Please click on it. You've also got the Wirecast logo above that. And there's a competition running this month through Bagel Tech, all the shows. If you want to have a copy of Wirecast, all you've got to do is click on that image. It'll open up an email for you. And you have to complete the question, or you have to give this complete the answer to the question, I deserve a copy of Wirecast because, and then whoever comes out with the most heartrending or witty or juvenile response will get a free copy of Wirecast. And we've got one to give away every month for the next 4 months. So we might be doing a caption competition, I think, next month. And I've got just the photo that I think would be perfect for that, Kyle.
Really?
Yeah.
Let me know about it later when we're off the air.
Well, it's not one from my personal collection, is it?
It's a picture of Kyle.
Oh, it's not from my personal collection.
He knows exactly which one it is now.
Yeah, I know exactly which one it is.
That might be next month's competition.
I hate you and your hard drive, and your iCloud and everything.
Ah, dear. Mm. There's also something to mention that Don's involved with as well, because the London Mac User Group has got, they're changing the logo, by the way, so this one's going to move, but the London Mac User Group is having an event on the 18th of July. It's on a Monday night. It'll be at the Wood Marylebone Pub in London NW1, and there will be a panel of experts available on the night, and we will be discussing an awful lot of things. Lion will feature heavily in the discussion, and there are some other people coming as well. I can't tell you any more than that at the moment, but Don and I will probably be there. I'll certainly be there. Don probably will. And there's a couple of other people who are probably going to attend. One of them said he's a definite maybe. So that should be a really nice event to go to. And there'll be beer on sale. So that always helps.
Whee.
And no driving. So that even better. There we go.
You get to see Don turn into that party animal.
Yeah.
Now, the other thing is the Bagel Tech Bash on the 8th of July. If you're waiting and waiting and waiting to book on it, then don't wait too much longer because we're running out of spots. It's going to happen on the 8th of July. It's going to be on a Friday. It's going to be all day. So you can come in the evening or you can come in the morning or all day. It's up to you. We'll do all the shows on that Friday. So the Bagel Tech big show won't be on the Thursday that week. It'll be on the Friday that week. And we'll do it live. And there'll be a video camera up. And there'll be a live audience because all of you will be there sitting drinking, and we'll be going on till the early hours having some fun and making a lot of noise, and we'll upset all the people around the venue that we're going to. It's the 8th of July. If you want to come, send me an email that says Bagel Tech Bash and tell me that you definitely come in. I'll put a space down for you because we have got a limit on numbers, so please let me know. And don't leave it till the last minute, because if there's a huge influx and I put it on Facebook and I get 16,000 people turn up, the police will be involved. It'll all get ugly.
And it's my birthday as well.
Oh, isn't that nice?
Oh.
Happy birthday to
you. Not today, on the 8th of July.
Right, yeah. We'll sing happy birthday to Sarah as well, live on the show.
Yes, and we'll slur the words because we'll be so... Never mind.
Yeah.
Don, where can we get a hold of you?
You can find me over at screencastonline.com. That's the main website for the tutorials. Or also, if you go to donmcallister.net, you'll find my Twitter handle and all the other stuff that people tend to have these days.
Thank you very much, mate. Bless you, Andy. Sarah, where can we get hold of you?
You can get hold of me at my website, which is sarahjaneuk.com, or on Twitter at sarahjaneuk.
Thank you so much for stepping in at the last minute.
That's okay, you're welcome.
I appreciate it. I just hope that your boss doesn't find out you've been on the show.
That doesn't matter, I'm on holiday this afternoon.
Oh, that's so. All right then, that's good. Oh. Andrew, where can we get you, mate?
Oh, Twitter. At Dr. Happy Mac.
And you'll be flying about the Cirencester area.
Yep, in the supervan that's still there. With
Mac
the
and More
on,
Limited, so. If you want to book your services.
Yeah, stop me and buy one, as they say.
Yes. Have you had a word with Patrick Stewart about coming on?
No.
Sending us a message. You were going to get him to record us a message, weren't you?
I was going to try if next time I'm over there.
Good man. Good
an
man.
Irregular thing, so keep, next time.
Good man, keep
we should
that
record
going.
Him a message. Please. Please come on, Patrick. Please come on the Bagel Tech meeting. I mean, come on.
No begging. And at the Corn Hall on Wednesdays, Thursdays?
On Wednesdays, and Wednesdays in the Corn Hall in Cirencester. You can come down, you can see me live.
You're available for autographs.
Yes, if you'd like to see the hat in real life.
Willing to kiss babies. You're not a million miles away from an accurate, it has to be said, mate. You get a big set of mutton chops and we could actually have trouble next time.
I think a couple of weeks ago they were in full. I would have been physically indistinguishable from Mr. Anarcho. The only way that you would have been able to tell which was me and which was him was that if once we'd opened our mouths, only one of us would have made any sense.
I'm not answering that question. And finally, last but by no means least, it's Mr. Swagger. Hello, mate.
Yes. Hello. How you doing?
Where can we get you, pal?
Twitter. Twitter.com/KyleSwagger. I've been very vacant from there this week, so I apologize. But I'll start tweeting after I get all of this work out of the way come Monday.
You promised you were going to stop working hard soon.
I can't.
Liar, liar, pants on fire.
That's right.
We'll be back again next week.
The bills are coming.
Sorry. That's all right, mate. We'll be back again next week. Everyone will be on an iPhone 3G via Wi-Fi, and it'll work just fine and dandy. We're going to have everyone back to normal. It'll be the normal panel again next week. So Will will be back. He's doing training this week, which is why he had to dub out. And we'll have some fun discussing the Mac news. And we really hope there is some. Thank you ever so much for listening. Have a great weekend. See you next time.
Bye.
Very angelic, mate. That would turn any priest on.
Have we crashed the clickers yet?
I didn't think we were supposed to talk over the credits.